Techheads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
G'day everyone, it's another episode of Aussie Tech Heads. Welcome once again. This week it's episode 436 and it's recorded the 7th of May 2015. All right, what do we got for you tonight? We got stories, stories, stories. And we must also thank the ATHwebhosting.com.au, Aussie Tech Heads Web Hosting, that's right. We've dabbled into the hosting business and you can find some nice Aussie servers, nice and affordable servers for your web page, your blog or whatever you got. So ATHwebhosting.com.au. Come and have a look. All right. Tonight we have someone we haven't seen for a couple of weeks and for his second time, Rennie. How you doing, Rennie?
Evening, gentlemen. Pleasure to join you as always.
What have you been up to these last, well, since we last saw you?
Been helping a few clients out. Spent today playing around with a 4-cam TechView security recorder DVR thing.
Oh, okay.
And they're not mind-boggling, but anyway.
Yeah, trying to get it out on the internet or something. That's what I find the hardest thing to do is get those little things to be seen on the net.
That's, yeah, all those porting half a dozen ports.
And every modem's different, every router's different, and port forwarding drives you mental. All right, so it's good to have you. Looks like you got a more of a collection behind you there, a new printer there, or another printer.
It's the old Xerox. Yeah, that's my workhorse.
Yeah, and you still got the open machine, Windows 10 or something. Good to see.
It's got current build of Windows 10 running on it.
Oh yeah, and you find that pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. It's bugs, but what do you expect? You know.
Yeah, well, I've got a story about when that's available. Should be released this year sometime, but we'll get to that.
Yes, so I see.
And also, Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Hello, sirs.
What's new with you?
The usual, not a lot.
No.
Getting on with it.
Good. How's the weather going down there?
Freezing cold.
Yeah, I heard it was a bit cold. it's not too bad up here.
So where are you situated, Rennie?
Whereabouts? Sorry.
What state are you in?
Queensland.
You are? Okay, so you don't get the shrunken situation.
No, it's not that bad.
Not like us from Sydney and Melbourne. Everyone walks around singing like the Bee Gees in Melbourne. It's that cold.
You just need to buy a sock.
I use them for my feet, mate.
Yeah? Oh, you got cold feet, haven't you? A couple of socks.
I'll have to just spare one foot.
Yeah. It's all right. Okay, we won't go any further.
All right, enough. Off track once again.
Yes. All right. So anyway, I think Rennie's just not too far from me. He's around the Broadbeach area up there somewhere, I think.
Redland City.
Okay. Now, have you done your NBN check, either of you two, in the recent past?
Oh, a couple of weeks ago.
And?
Yeah, nada.
Nada, nothing.
Yeah, what about you?
Bubkus.
Yeah. I think
really nothing.
Yeah, nothing. All right. Let's get cracking with a Microsoft story. Microsoft Surface 3 has been unleashed in Australia. So there you go. Anyone interested in those? The device starts at $699 for 64 gig of storage and 2 gig of RAM. Climbs up to $839 for 128 gig and 4 gig of RAM. So accessories such as keyboard and pen are sold separately. I think they're better.
You can have a car, but the steering wheel's extra.
I think it's about $130, isn't it?
That's for the ridiculous
keyboard and that. Anyway, Microsoft announced
this. Yeah, bundle the whole thing up.
Yeah, 100.
Just bundle it up.
Yeah, I know. They should.
So look, $999 and it's all yours.
Well, you can buy one of the fully
spec. Off you go.
You can buy one of those things, keyboards, probably from Kogan or someone for probably $20.
Yeah, but
we won't get the clicky thing. Yeah, you need the clicky thing. Microsoft announced that the Surface 3 is available through its own Microsoft Store and JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman. So there you go. You can't apparently buy this anywhere. It's selected resellers.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Mm. It's a quad-core Intel Atom tablet. Has the full 64-bit 8.1 Windows. And they're also offering with that, obviously, the upgrade to Windows 10 later this year when it comes out. That's the best bit of news I've heard for ages, that free Windows 10 upgrade.
Yeah. I know, it's good, isn't it? They're doing the old Apple thing.
Yes.
Freebie, just giving it away.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to license it, aren't they? I think that's where it's going. So you probably end up paying. I think
they're making all most of their money now from cloud services.
Mm.
So they can afford to give this stuff away.
Yeah. Have you ever dabbled in the cloud?
Not their cloud.
No, but which one?
Well, there's lots of, you know, there's lots of different clouds, but I don't use Microsoft because they've got so many different versions and it's just this bloody this, that, and the other. I think just name it one thing.
Mm.
So I can log in and just stay there and they change the name and blah. It's just too confusing. That's the biggest problem.
One of the biggest things or something that I came across through the week is I had a client that was locked out of Outlook. And so we tried to reset the password, but he couldn't get the – he didn't have the phone number that was attached to it to get the SMS.
Right.
So we tried to
– So some poor bloke was getting all these weird SMSs.
Probably. So whether it was an old number or whatever. We didn't have the number. So anyway,
is this your famous client?
No,
different one?
Yes, different one.
Oh, right.
Close.
Close.
Okay. Related.
So, I know the one.
So anyway, we looked at this and reset the password. We want to change the phone number, you know, for the recovering process. And it goes, okay, you've successfully changed all your security info, but now you've got to wait 30 days. You got to wait 30 days. So
you're not trying to buy a gun, for God's sake.
But you got to wait 30 days until you can actually now get back into it. I don't know what you're supposed to do in 30 days.
So this is his online Outlook.
.com, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just dead set. And I'll tell you, if anyone's thinking of going to Outlook.com or Outlook 2013, forget it. It has more problems. Stay with Gmail. I wish I did. But anyway,
I've stuck to Outlook 2010. I rolled it back.
Yeah, okay.
Piece of garbage.
And another stupid thing I've discovered, I've had so much problems with this Outlook, hey. Another silly thing, this client, he's got Office 2010, say, yep. And then like home and student or whatever. So he's gone out, okay. So he's bought Office 2010. He's gone out a couple of years later, said, Outlook. I need Outlook. I'll stick with Microsoft. It's great. I love it. It's big company. Beautiful. I want to stick with the strength. Goes out, buys Outlook. What's that? 180? Something like that.
I don't know.
By itself.
Like that. Yeah.
160. I priced it out the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yep. Something like that. So he comes home, puts it in. Everything looks like it's working okay. Yep. No worries. So he rings and he says, "I can't get the spell checker to work." And I go, "Right." And so, as you type a word and you put the space, the squiggly line comes up under it.
Yeah.
Okay. You can check it manually. So you push the button. And
F7.
But if you have an old version of Office and a newer version of Outlook, you won't get an auto spell check. You have got to, and I couldn't even find this on the Microsoft site. I found it on a third party site. You've got to root around finding some.
Change the registry settings?
No, some file, WinWordXE or something, some stupid file somewhere.
Dictionary file somewhere sitting in a somewhere.
And you've got to put it somewhere else. Like, that's ridiculous.
Oh.
That's ridiculous.
Oh.
So I tell you, say, don't bother.
This is one reason I don't like Microsoft stuff. It's not, nothing is simple.
No.
They're getting better. I must admit, they're a lot better than they used to be, but there's still quite a bit to go.
It's hard work, isn't it? I've had no end of problems migrating over to Outlook. I wish I didn't. But anyway, so back to the cloud. Rennie, have you dabbled with the cloud at all?
Not to any great extent. No, I mean, I've got files backed up there somewhere, but I haven't been using Azure or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, Azure. Yeah, I've looked into the Amazon one, which is pretty good.
Yeah, how much is that? Is it fast, Amazon Cloud?
Oh, look, I only did the trial, which is I think you just only get one CPU, one core, or something.
Only one computer.
Yeah, or one core and whatever, 2 gig of RAM or something. But it'll load up Windows 8, all right. So it sort of goes all right. It gives you an idea of what to do. So it wasn't too bad. But I looked more into storage. So, I think
the backup storage.
Yeah, they call it the S3 or something. I think it was about 3 cents per gigabyte of storage, something like that.
Right.
And you also retrieval fees and all that. But yeah, so that was all right. So the cloud, no one's really, but apparently that's gaining traction. It's going to be everywhere. All right. Oh, did you hear this guy from SurveyMonkey, Dave Goldberg?
Yes.
He died.
See, exercise is not good for you.
No.
Obviously. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what came to my mind because I read an article about him dying last week and I thought, oh, geez, he's young. I wonder what happened to him, you know, because it doesn't say. But
is that a recent photo you put up there?
Oh, I don't know.
He doesn't look like a gym junkie.
No, that's probably why he was there. But anyway, he fell off a treadmill in a private villa in Punta Mita and hit his head. Mexico. Yeah. So Goldberg's brother found him on the floor of the villa's gym showing signs of life. He was taken to hospital where he died.
So it must have been some blood loss. Did he crack his head open, wasn't it?
I don't know what happened, but it's a terrible story.
He cracked his head open.
Yeah, it's a terrible story. And apparently he's the...
The thing that made me laugh was that most of the stories referred to him as Sheryl Sandberg's husband.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that shocking when they do that? Remember a couple of weeks ago when Angus Hawley died? Antonia Kidman's ex-husband.
Yeah.
Right? They kept referring to him as Nicole Kidman's ex-brother-in-law.
Yeah.
They just pretty much didn't even mention her name at all.
Yeah.
Just shits me when they do that. It's so rude and disrespectful.
It is disrespectful. You're right. They, you know, maybe they could mention that he was the husband of...
At the end, you know, David Goldberg was the wife of Sheryl Sandberg, whatever. Yeah. Well, as a footnote.
Well, SurveyMonkey's a big enough beast in itself.
It's massive.
Yeah.
SurveyMonkey's huge.
Yes. Like everyone, I reckon, listening and here has probably had a survey, has completed a survey from SurveyMonkey.
Every survey I get from my kids' schools is run by SurveyMonkey from as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. But anyway, that was no good. I just, yeah, that's crazy stuff. No good. You just never know when your number's up, do you?
Keep away from the treadmills, Glennie.
Yeah,
as I know you do.
Don't worry, Eric. You're
safe there.
Your fears are unfounded. Now I know Rennie's got a story for us this week. What are you brought up this week, Rennie?
I got a few sort of media related stories I thought I might share with you guys tonight. There's this. I'm not sure whether you're familiar with a company called Ice TV, but they make a TV guide that you can use in all sorts of applications. Like, you know, I suppose the best known one, a lot of DVRs have the Ice TV guide in them. And
it's not a free one though, is it? The Ice, I think you got to pay.
No, you got to pay for the TV guide. Yeah.
Mm. But it's pretty accurate from what I hear, like very accurate.
Yeah, it's red hot, and I'll get back to that in the next story sort of thing. But anyway, they're releasing a DVR, TV DVR called the Skipper, which, funnily enough, skips the ads in playback. So
how good's that?
That would improve your viewing experience no end.
Mm.
Apparently, they're running into some resistance from. You know, it's also going to have Freeview compatibility. And that Freeview,
that's just nothing.
That's a monumental disaster, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's just
I don't even use it. I don't bother.
But Freeview,
well, you can't. You've got to buy a new TV to do it.
But isn't Freeview just the Heart Foundation tick? It's just a sticker you put on to say it's Freeview, which is just TV.
No. Freeview is. Oh, is it Freeview?
It's hard to describe. I know what you're getting at. I've seen it. It's hard to describe what it is. I think you're right. You need a new TV to get it. You plug your antenna in the back of it, and you get all these channels, these free-to-air channels.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think... Yeah, sorry.
All the catch-up TV services.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's Freeview Plus.
Freeview Plus, sorry.
Yeah. So Freeview, because I remember reading about Freeview and for the DVD players, because everyone had a bit of a got all excited about Freeview. Everyone wanted Freeview, you know, all the old ladies, and they're, oh, I'm going to get the Freeview. That's what's going
didn't
on.
They didn't realise that. But they needed a digital set top box.
Yeah, but what happens was to get the Freeview sticker, the remote for it wasn't allowed to commercial skip. You could fast forward, but you couldn't skip it. So if you wanted the Freeview tick, you had to fast forward instead of skip.
Is that why what's that thing that DVR recorder that came in from America? What was that called? And it sort of died.
TiVo.
That's why that died in the cracker, didn't it? Because you weren't allowed to. Because in America they've got that doing a commercial skip.
Right.
But here they tried to bring in. I think Channel 7 tried to bring in. I think they were the distributors of it here, and it just sort of died in the neck, didn't it?
Hmm. Well, I think.
It's horribly expensive too.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Jeez,
yeah,
I tell you. But
no one TiVo's anything anymore. We used to hear that all the time in American TV. Oh, TiVo this, TiVo that. No one says that anymore.
So how's it? What's the skipper going to do, Rennie? He's going to skip ads?
Yeah, for apparently us. the ads are still recorded, but you don't have to watch them. You can just it uses detection to skip the ads, but apparently it takes about as long as the whole show to actually analyse it.
Yeah, right.
At the moment. So if it's an hour-long show and you want to watch it 2 hours later, you'll be good to go. But
Remember, anyway, yes, sorry.
It's supposed to be coming out very shortly. So
remember in the old days, like I remember especially with old English TV, they apparently had some commercial skipping setup. You'll see on the old shows like the Benny Hill show and George and Mildred or whatever, there's this little square squiggly thing in the top corner. Well, apparently that told your video recorder when to pause, and then it squiggled again, so it unpaused. But I think that died as well. I think the TV.
That went away with digital. I think that was pretty much an analog thing.
Yeah, back with the video recorders. Yeah, that was a while ago. I threw out all my CDs through the week, as you would have seen on Facebook. So, yeah, I just went – I had like five drawers of CDs from, I don't know, apps for XP and all this sort of stuff, and I just thought, that's too much. So I just went through them all and, yeah, just chucked them all out. So now I've got five empty drawers, which is great.
Oh, you'll fill it with crap soon enough, mate.
Don't worry. I've always
got – I trust you.
I've got something earmarked for them already. So, all right, so the skipper, so that's coming out soon. Looks like they've got problems with AFL. You remember they cracked it with Optus doing their cloud record and streaming stuff. So AFL's, they've got a problem with it as well. But you've gone on here, you've got some notes about, so media centres. So the media centre in Windows is going away in Windows 10. That's no good.
What a damn shame.
I liked Windows Media Centre.
Media player, that's a piece of crap.
No, media center. Didn't you get – it's not player. It was an actual, like, media center where you could
–
Oh, that one. Yeah, that one. I know. That used to come with Windows Home Server thingy as well.
No.
No, it's a different one again.
Windows app.
Yeah, it was a program where you could watch live TV, record live TV.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Yeah, so well, what are they going to do?
Music, photos, and movies to it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think you could also get your Xbox. Your Xbox was like an extender to the media center.
Yep.
So you could bring watch your videos through the Xbox that would, stream it from your media center. But I didn't. The only thing wrong with the media center I found was it changed its recording format. I think from Windows 7, or was it Windows 7 to Windows 8? I think the format of the recording changed. And then there was a problem with there was different devices couldn't read the different formats that they decided they'd change to. Crazy. But
went for a WTV format.
That's right.
And then if you wanted to watch it on anything except a computer, you had to convert it.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's just stupid.
Yeah. But anyway, so if you – and the other problem was you had to have it on a computer. So I used to have a computer near the TV, but, now it's gone. So alternatives. So what are you running, Rennie? Are you into this – into the media players?
Yeah, I've been using media centre since 2005 when it was came out in XP.
Yeah, right.
So I sort of persevered with it for a long time. Mm. It's a bit like owning a puppy, you know. You love it when it's good.
Yes.
When it craps all over your rug, you don't see, you know, you don't like it so much.
Yeah, look, I found it great. Yeah. But I've moved on since then. I've moved on to
one of Apple TV.
Yes, but I've also, for my PCs, I've got Plex, which is one of your alternatives there, Rennie. You've got alternatives. There's the X.
I can't work out how to set that up properly. I tried it. I couldn't be bothered. I said, oh, bugger it.
No, it's good. You've got to persevere with that. That's pretty good.
Too much dicking around.
Well, I got the Plex server, so I can use it through my phone with the Plex app and then cast it to the Chromecast.
See, I don't know how to set that up, mate. You're talking to a noob.
Yeah,
in that respect.
But it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. And also, if you want to send it to the TV off your computer, you just install the Plex desktop on your computer and away you go. What's another? Jay River. I haven't heard of that, Randy. Is that what's that thing?
Jay River's really good for music. It does movies pretty well too. It's not often heard of, but it's very good.
Okay.
Kodi's the new name for the old XMBC, which was originally the Xbox Media Center that they've continued on developing. And, of course, you know, Microsoft wants everyone to have an Xbox and for that to be the center of your living room experience these days rather than a PC.
Yeah.
And they've brought out a TV tuner for it. But it's only one tuner and there's no DVR functionality. But there is a rumour that DVR is coming. So,
well, I suppose, when you look around today, like, it's funny because I went and, you know, you talk to people or something and said, oh, did you record that show the other night? And now that the video recorder's gone, people are saying, oh, no, because I can't record anything anymore. Right. When you ask different people, did you record a show or blah, 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 there's no one records because they can't. And unless they've got something, you know, some sort of tech like this. But I'll tell you the easiest way that I found, or Foxtel, you can record your channels on Foxtel. But the best thing that's out there, or one of the good things that's out there, is the T-Box. I don't know if you guys have got the T-Box.
No.
T-Box. Telstra. Is that the Telstra one?
Yeah.
It's in a cupboard somewhere.
Is that got a hard drive in it?
Yeah. Yeah, so you can... You can jump on into the T-Box and you've got a couple of, you know, internet channels from Telstra, some music channel and some sport sort of channels. You can watch your Foxtel through it. You can watch live TV through it and you can record live TV and you record TV through it. So that's good. You can program. It's got the guide and all this series record and all this sort of stuff. You've got your remote on your iPhone if you want. And what else does it do? Oh, you can hire movies from them and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
And you can also connect it to your computer, so you can stream from it, from your computer. So if you've got a movie on the computer, you can stream it to the T-Box and play it on the telly. So the T-Box is pretty good. I don't mind that at all. And if you can't record TV, check that
one out. You must have got the second generation. The first one I got was the first generation. It was a piece of crap.
Yeah, I think there might be a third gen out now. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Because the remote on it, you couldn't even press the buttons. It was hopeless.
Yeah, it's a dicky little remote.
It's still dicky, is it?
Well, the one I've got's a bit dicky. That's why I went to the app there. So it worked all right for me after that.
Better on the app.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yes. Oh, look, let's talk Apple Watch again for a second. Now, apparently it's
a rip-off. Rip-off watch, I mean Apple Watch.
apparently it's been costed that the materials inside the Apple Watch cost about $80 US and sells for $350 US. So yeah, you might be thinking it's a big markup. Well, it's 24% of the suggested retail price. So compared to the iPhone, which is about 29% to 38%, the Apple Watch Sports model costs $349 US. And Teardown shows materials at $81.20, with the cost of production rising by $2.50. Geez, they pay those Taiwanese people a lot, don't they? $2.50 manufacturing expenses. Yeah, but I don't know. Look, I've my little note.
Yeah, but you've made a point there, and they are right. There is a lot of R&D that goes into that. And yes. You do have to recoup that. If you didn't recoup your R&D, you'd go broke.
Yeah, so like the R&D.
Very quickly.
How much do you reckon the R&D be on that? 100 mil?
No. More?
Less? More?
Depends how long they've been working on it. They might have been working on this since they, you know, brought out the iPad.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
True.
Because they, they were working on the iPad well before the iPhone, but they decided to bring the iPhone out first.
Yeah, okay. So I guess, like, there's a lot of little hidden sort of costs, isn't there?
Because you wouldn't be working on this for 6 months to 12 months and then bring it out. It'd be a piece of crap. I reckon they'd be probably working on this for a while.
Yeah, you're probably right. Have you guys got a Fitbit? Are
they any good? Yeah, I do, yeah.
Oh, are they any good?
Yeah.
It talks to your phone?
Yes.
Yeah, right, okay.
It talks to your phone.
Have you got the I don't know, is it? There's a cheap one, there's a middle one, and then there's a watch one.
The one I've got's got the watch on it. Which one's that one?
Like a full face watch.
Got the time. I'll show it to you, man. Mine came with a heart monitor.
Yeah, don't they all? Oh, yeah.
No, they don't. Some of them, the heart monitors, it's on your watch, but you've got to wear the strap here when you do your exercise, right, to get the reading.
That's a bit crap. I'm not going to do that.
And so this one's got the time. I don't know what that is. Is that the date? That's your time, date, heart rate, steps done, steps to go, how many kilometres, how many calories. Yeah, that's it.
Mm. So there's a little, if you're on the video, there's a little image of the Apple Watch all spread apart. So there's not much to it, obviously, because it's very, very, very small. But I think the only problem so far is, as we mentioned last week, is... Yeah, it has trouble if you've got an inked wrist. That's they call it the tattoo gate. Everything's a gate.
I'll guess that most people with ink wrists probably can't afford a watch.
You never know.
So problem solved.
Problem solved. Well, how about this mob in China? I don't even know how to say their name, but Qihoo.
Qihoo.
So anyway, Qihoo, they're a antivirus people.
Yeah, I bet.
they're more like pro-virus.
I think when you get a virus on your computer and you know, the English version is yoo-hoo when it pops up. So that's the Chinese version.
So anyway, well, they're pretty big. They're the largest security vendor in China. So it's set to lose all its current certifications after being caught cheating in an independent antivirus lab test. So what they did was they submitted their product to test for antiviruses, but when the judges or whatever did their due diligence and looked into the actual product, the product that they submitted differed by what the product was that was available to consumers. So the deception came to light after investigations by AV Comparatives, AV Test and Virus Bulletin found that Qihoo 360 submitted products for testing with the Chinese company's own QVM detection engine disabled. They submitted products. The submitted products ran only the detection engine provided by Bitdefender. How good's that? So the Chinese company confirmed to the labs that some settings had been adjusted for testing and eventually admitted that the setting was not what would be available on the standard download of the Qihoo
360. Oh, where do I sign up?
Yes. So, and further to that, the company said it had boosted the number of users on its mobile security product from 475 million to 744 million in December 2013-14. However, in 2012, Qihoo was accused of fudging its user numbers by a faction of the Hacktivist Anonymous Collective, which claimed to have found ComScore data that showed the actual figures were half of what was reported. These guys are off their tree. They're going for gold.
Yes.
They're going for gold.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of them. Never heard of them.
Have now.
I have now. I won't be buying them. I probably wouldn't understand it anyway. They'd be all in Chinese.
I think it's pronounced Qihoo, but you can go away and forget about that right now because no one's going to go near it.
No, exactly. Not right. After this little expose.
No, that's right. What antivirus do you like, Rennie? What are you running?
Bitdefender.
Yeah, I had a go at that. You like that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah, I'd go with that. I do AVG. I'm just
I do the AVG. I like the AVG.
Yeah, I do that. That sort of works for me. I had tried the Bitdefender. I can't remember why I moved away from that. It must have been a reason. I don't know what it was. But anyway.
It's a bit of a market darling lately, apparently. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was very light too, wasn't it? It's a very light little antivirus.
Not in your face.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any noises.
Yes.
Yeah, not like Norton. Bah, I'm over here.
Yes. I was working on a computer today with McAfee on it. Oh, my God.
Oh, there, though. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's bloody crazy.
Every time you want to do something, up pops McAfee to complain about something.
And it's just on about every laptop install in the world, isn't it?
Every time you buy a laptop, it's got McAfee on it. I got rid of it.
That's the first thing I'll get rid of. Yeah, it's one of the first things.
I get rid of everything. I wipe it. Completely and reinstall Windows. Nice clean install. Wipe the lot.
I get a client's computer and I'll just first, you know, when you go through getting rid of unwanted programs, just go through, look at McAfee, get rid of that. Norton's get rid of the internet back, Norton's internet bloody security, Norton's cloud backup, Norton's ghost, Norton's antivirus.
Oh, Norton's in there. Every time you fart, Norton, hey, back that up.
But what about Avast? That's the one that talks, isn't it? It goes, your system is now clean and all this sort of stuff. That'd drive you mental. You go, I don't care.
I'll tell you what, I want to punch that in the face.
Not the throat. Just the face.
No, face. No? Just the face.
All right. Well, give it a few more alerts and it might
That's
be
something
the
they were doing in the internet, even before the internet was became you know really commercially out there in about 93, 94. You know, you'd get everyone used to do all cheesy things with their computers. You know, you'd get Clippy from Outlook and Word and all that sort of thing. That's probably about the era 20, 25 years ago and. You'd get, you know, when someone talked, you think, oh, isn't that cool? Or remember the old one, you've got mail. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yes.
Right, AOL, you've got mail. You think, right, okay, it was probably cute 25, 30 years ago, but to do it now, that's just stupid.
Yeah, no, you can't do it now.
And people are streaming videos, you know, doing Netflix and, you know, it's all a bit old hat to do that sort of thing now.
But it's like, you know, in the old days when you first started doing web pages, you made text flash and banners flash and music play.
Yeah,
and now
words scroll across the page. Oh, yeah, tricky.
Yeah, look at me. Get me that next size sock, please. Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Now, Rennie, you've got another one about a DVR. You're a bit of a DVR guru this week.
Since I learned, I always actually suspected for some time that Windows Media Center was going the way of the dinosaur. You know, there's quite a few alternatives coming up, and one of the main things people used Media Center for was to record TV.
Yeah.
And so a company called Silicon Dust which makes a great product called the HD Home Run.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a networked TV tuner. So you can watch TV on any device on your network. It doesn't have to be on the TV. And if you've got, you know, a media center on your office PC, you can actually record TV to that and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
But with media center going away, they've decided they're going to do their own DVR. But it's not going to be a bit of hardware. It's actually just going to be software that you install on a network attached storage device of some sort. Doesn't have to be anything sexy. Doesn't have to be Synology or whatever.
Nice.
And it will let you do the same thing. So, I've done a Kickstarter for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the good thing I noticed in your little notes there was it's in the rollout. It's going to be in Australia. Coming to Australia.
Yeah, that's we're good. Part of the initial rollout as well. So.
Excellent. Yeah, so software on the NAS, that sounds pretty good. That sounds good, I suppose. So everything gets recorded onto the NAS from what you've read? Yeah, okay.
I mean, storage is the cheapest part. I mean, you know, 2 terabytes will cost you, you know, $80 these days. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, storage.
How much TV can you consume, you know?
Yes.
But the thing is, you do need the Home Run device. You do need the tuners separately. So,
and can you I know this is all new and you might not know all the answers that I'm asking, but can you put more than one tuner and things like this? Can you bank up, like, say, three tuners or something?
Yeah, I think they're free-to-air one at the moment. I've just got the dual channel.
Right. So that's pretty good. And what's that called? Silicon Dust or Kickstarter?
Silicon Dust is the name of the company.
Yeah.
And they're launching this DVR. So.
Right. So if we Googled Silicon Dust, we'd find out what's happening. Let me have a look. All right. Yep. Cool. So that sounds pretty interesting. So if you're looking for a media center or something, and you're thinking, scratching your head what to do, check that one out. Silicon Dust sounds good.
Glenn, you keep cutting out, mate. Do you want to call me back?
Yep. Am I cutting?
Keep cutting out. Yeah, both of you keep in and out. I don't know if it's my end or your end.
All right. Well, let's see.
I keep losing people too. So.
All right. Well, we'll try a callback. Hang on. 2 seconds. So we'll just drop those guys and see if we can call the group back. How do we do this? This is just too hard. Skype. Let's see if this works. Call the group. How's that go?
Oh, good. You just said something just now, but it sounds all right so far.
All right. Well, we'll see how we go. We'll push on.
All right.
Oh, where's my show notes?
Where's your picture?
That'll be there somewhere. Hang on. Picture. There. How's that?
There you go.
All right. Now.
Oh, that's what's doing it.
What?
Your picture's doing it. Now you're all crackly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you want me to turn the picture off?
If it's going to help. I can still see your picture on the stream.
Try that.
Yeah, it's better for me. I don't know if it's like for any.
Well, see how we go. All right. So let's push that down there. Okay. Now, where were we up to? Where's these show notes of mine? Here we go. All right. Oh, I've just had a message from the lounge that's been dropping out in the lounge as well.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. So been going all right now? So far, so good?
It's better for me.
All right, cool. Okay, now Windows 10 is going to launch this year as promised, and apparently it might be the 23rd of July, which is a Thursday. Now, Microsoft normally doesn't launch on Thursdays. Someone's gone through the history.
Yep.
And
Apple does. Apple always does Thursdays.
Well, anyway, Microsoft has confirmed the summer 2015 launch for Windows 10 in 190 countries. Then in mid-April, AMD's president and CEO Lisa Su inadvertently revealed there'll be a Windows 10 launch at the end of July. So July is an unusual time for Microsoft. In fact, it's only happened twice with the release of NT 3.1. 27th of July 1993, and the release of Windows 7 on 22nd of July 2009. OEMs will have a finished version by Windows 10 by June. So keep a lookout for one of those, Rennie. Windows 10 OEM. That'll be the go.
Yeah, they confirmed at Build last week, I think, that they are aiming for a July launch date. Because the story broke anyway.
Mm.
But what you actually get, I think they might do it a bit like the Xbox One rollout, where it was sort of a bit of a yawn to start with, and then they keep adding features and stuff as they go along. So
yeah, okay, yeah. So I guess that's how it's going to work. That's how Windows actually started, wasn't it? Windows 3.1, it wasn't ready, or Windows 2 or something, and Bill just said, just get it out there, we'll worry about the problems later.
Yeah, it wasn't, that's not ours anyway, so just bring it out there.
We flogged it.
That's right. Right. Yeah, so, look, hopefully it is June, because I know my computer probably needs a bit of a format, and I'm just trying to hang out, I don't want to do it twice, so I'm trying to hang out till the Windows 10 comes out. Did it take a date? July 23rd. I might have to format before then. I've got to fix up these little blackout problems the internet's getting. It must be my machine.
It'd have to be, mate. Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah. I reckon it's your mixer, but you don't believe me. You won't change it at 20 years old.
No. No, well, I don't, for some reason, I don't get dropouts on any other calls. It's just when you do the podcast. So it just must be something else that's going on.
Yeah, but the only time you use a mixer is in the podcast. Mm. If you're one-on-one, you won't get dropouts. The minute you get more than two, you start getting dropouts. And that's your mixer.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I know I'm going to have to, but I just don't get time to even research one that I want. I don't mind buying one. I just need, can someone tell me what to get and I'll go and get it.
Why don't you get the same one I've got? I haven't actually reinstalled mine yet because remember last year I took it all apart because we were selling the house and all that crap.
But you got that little, the Beringer one.
No, I got a better one than that. Hang on. Where is it?
Oh, I thought he only had the little, the Beringer one. You got mixers there, Rennie? Or you just got your... No. Yeah, they'll tell you, they another level of complexity.
I've got a... What brand is this? It's a good one. Hang on, I'll show it to you in a minute. Let's get the brand.
So what did you do with the Beringer? You still got
that? I've still got that.
Yeah.
Is this... I can't find it. There's no name on it. You should believe it. They sell a product and it hasn't got their sticker on it.
They don't want you to find them.
It's a good one, though.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. Yeah? Yeah. Well, I thought that, you know, my next one should have, like, USBs and all this sort of stuff in it. So, I mean, I'm wanting to get a good one.
Yeah, I prefer that, too, because it's digital then. These old mixers are all analog. Well, they're not old. I only bought this 2 years ago.
Mm. But, yeah, well, I think my mixer, I don't know when I bought that, I think it might have been 2008.
Yeah, was it that far away?
It was a while ago, yeah. It was off eBay as well. So
you're right. A digital one with USBs, right? Where the microphone's USB as well would be, because I have got to plug this.
I'll plug XLRs into it. I don't mind about that. I just want USB outs, so you can get a nice clean connection into the computer.
Yeah, true. None of the analog stuff. I have problems with that.
Mm. But anyway, let's get back to the important stuff. Now, I've tagged this one is. Just the biggest bit of BS I've ever heard for a while, I reckon. It's now, you know, the problem Microsoft had with the SkyDrive. So SkyDrive, Sky New, what are they? Sky Sports or something? Sky Channel in the UK. They said, "Hey Microsoft, your SkyDrive, that sounds too similar to Sky. Although we got nothing to do with cloud storage, but it still sounds too similar, so we don't want you to use it."
So who's suing Skype?
So now the. Sky, the same people.
Rupert.
Yes, Rupes.
Rupes has got to get off his 88-year-old butt and just let it go.
Now, he's sent a little letter to Skype saying, "Hey, your name has got Sky in it. We don't like it. Get rid of it."
But lots of names have got other words in it.
So the judgment prevents Microsoft from registering a trademark for Skype's name and bubble design logo.
That's crap.
Isn't it crap?
That's crap.
Yeah.
That is absolute crap. It's like the word human. It's got man in it. Oh, I better can't use that, so we're just going to call each other Hughes. Yeah. Idiots.
Judges at the General Court of the European Union, I think the European Union got something against Microsoft. Said,
I think so too.
Conceptually.
All American countries.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Companies, I should say.
Yeah, yes. True. Agree. You know, the Euro, bloody, they're all communist Euro trash bloody idiots.
Well, they're giving it to Google as well, aren't they?
Yeah, Google are copying it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know, but anyway, the judges at the General Court of the European Union said conceptually the figurative element conveys no concept except perhaps that of a cloud. So that would further increase the likelihood of the element sky being recognised within the word element Skype, for clouds are to be found in the sky and thus maybe readily be associated with the word sky.
Now, see, I'll argue the point on the cloud, that cloud definition. Yeah. Well, the clouds aren't just in the sky. If I drop a massive, you know what, in the lift, and there are people in there, there's a cloud in there. You can't see it, but it's a cloud. It's not in the sky. It's in the elevator.
That's right.
I'll argue that point.
But like, it's not. Like, I suppose it does look like a cloud. And I suppose when it was engineered, it was.
The cloud's generic.
That's right.
You're going to sue God now? He made the cloud. Sue him.
So Skype has said we're confident that there's, or Microsoft, so there's no confusion exists between these brands and services and they will appeal the decision not to require us to alter product names in any way. Microsoft believes it still had the means to prevent anyone else from trying to call their product Skype. In 2012, it threatened to sue. This is Sky, so Sky's rampant. So Sky TV, whatever they want to get called. In 2012, they also threatened to sue a smart pen maker, now in some jurisdictions called LiveScribe, for trademark infringement. The American company, opted not to fight the case and instead changed the name of their product in question from Sky Wi-Fi to LiveScribe Wi-Fi. But so what are they saying? Anything with Sky in it, Rupert's going to jump up and down.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy stuff.
That's just ridiculous. Just come on.
Mm. Boxing. Oh, did you watch the fight through the week? No, neither did I. I couldn't afford it.
I watched it on a live blog, which wasn't very exciting, frankly.
No.
I'd never watched boxing like that before.
So was it like someone in the audience filming it?
Yeah, some commentator somewhere. I don't know where he was.
Yeah, okay. Well, this story here is all about, apparently they're all upset. You know, rights holders are upset yet again. But in America, you know, they were charging $89.95. to watch the fight in standard
on TV,
yeah, in standard definition, and another $10 for digital for high definition. Isn't that just
that's $100 US? We were paying $60 here. What definition was that? So that's Foxtel on Main Event.
That's BSD standard, wouldn't it?
It'd be standard definition, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's $60. That's about 80. And if you wanted HD, you probably would have paid another 10. So it was only a $10 difference in it.
I don't know if you could get Main
Plus
Event.
GST, there's your $100. It's equal.
Well, apparently it was only £19 in Britain. So I don't know. So
pounds? Yes. 20 pounds?
Yeah.
That's $40.
So probably because it was. But anyway, this story here is all
about. You know why? Because Sky was showing it. Yeah.
They were showing it, I think, too.
Rupert Sky.
But the rights holders to the fight, the boxing match, have forced recordings of the bout to be removed from the video streaming app Periscope. Now, I've never seen Periscope, but apparently that's out and about, and you can just point your camera and stream live. So apparently someone's done this, and they're getting upset about it. Seriously, I'm probably with Rennie, and I'm glad he said that it was crap to watch, because I'd be going, like, you can see, for those on the video, you can see that picture. There's a guy in the audience. He must be, 10 rows back, and he's filming it in the shape of a vertical phone. So it's not even landscape.
You don't film in vertical.
I hate it.
People take pictures with their phone. They always do the vertical.
Yeah.
How lazy are you? Turn it. It's landscape, you moron.
Yeah. Well, those people who do it in vertical never watch it, have never seen their own video on a TV.
Oh, look at their own pictures.
Yeah, that's right.
And go, yeah, and then they never look at it again.
That's right.
There it is there. Just like a come on.
So HBO has expressed its displeasure following.
Imagine watching TV like that.
Oh, it's rubbish. It's rubbish.
It's 4x3 on its ass.
So Periscope apparently, I don't know why you'd bother. But anyway, Periscope has also been known to have screened the latest episodes of the Game of Thrones. But this is just some dude with the camera in front of the TV. Like, really? So if you're that desperate to watch it, really want to watch your favourite show in a crappiest format that you can find. But anyway.
No one's going to watch it anyway.
The speculation is that the pay-per-view in America had an audience of about 2.48 million, or actual 2.48 million pay-per-view purchases. That's a lot. Yeah. You do the math.
Apparently
on that one.
They delayed the start of the fight so to make sure that all their pay-per-view people were caught up and managed to get on.
Yeah, well, apparently a lot of them couldn't get on, and they missed the undercard. Yeah. And all that, so.
Oh, well, no one watches the undercard.
Well, if you're paying $90, you'd be watching as much as you could get, I reckon.
$90, I want popcorn delivered to my door.
By a topless waitress, yeah.
That's right. Even better.
From Hooters.
Yeah, even better. But, look, I don't know. Would you rather watch it on the Periscope in vertical format, or would you rather just, if you didn't want to pay for it or you didn't have Foxtel, just go down the pub
And have go down to the pub, exactly. Book a table.
Have a couple of beers.
Get completely smashed, walk home.
Yeah. Well, have a fight of your own.
Yeah, one punch, you're gone.
Yeah, on your way home.
That's right. Go to jail. You're in the news all the time then.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Cost you nothing.
Now, all right. Now, Rennie, you've got another one here from Tesla. They've been busy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Old mate Elon Musk, you know, the chief of SpaceX and Tesla Motors. Thinks
he's Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's turning his attention to the home battery market.
Sweet. I don't know if this is going to work, but go on.
So he's developed this batteries, the same sort of technology as his cars use. It's lithium ion. It's coming out in two models, 10 kilowatts or 7 kilowatts. 7 kilowatts is $3,000. That's for your daily use type thing. 10-year warranty, 92% efficiency, apparently.
Nice.
All good stuff.
Does it say how big they are? The last time I looked at home batteries, I think they were the size of your garage.
Yeah, this thing's a lot smaller. It's 100 kilograms, and it's 1.3 meters by 0.8 of a meter by 180 millimeters. So it's about 7 inches thick, if that makes
sense. Yeah, that's not too bad.
It is. It's not too bad. It's a lot smaller
than that. Yeah, you could stack a few of them up.
So that's one battery. And how much would one of those batteries hold? What could you run on that? Could you run the house for a week, a day?
It says more or less any household will get a nighttime out of it, nighttime use sort of thing.
Yeah. So one battery equals like a few hours?
Maybe 6 hours, 7 hours, right, depending on what you've got going. If you're running a clothes dryer and stuff like that, well, probably not. But
I need about 40,000 of those batteries for this house.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
But you know,
and it costs me as much as the house. I might as well just keep paying electricity.
It's a good idea in the sense that, okay, even if you're on the grid, which most of us are, if you've got solar, then you can store that energy in case of a blackout. Because you know, if you've got solar now and the power goes out, you can't use your solar. So
yeah, when it's rainy, you can't use it either. No clouds. With the clouds, it's a shocker.
Yeah, well, that's true too. And also, some people, depending on where you live and what your electricity pricing is like, they're using it as a bit of an arbitrage. You know, you charge it up at night time on the cheap rate and then
sell it on the grid the next day. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's what a lot of the solar panels are doing now. The solar panels, now they're charging it during the day, not using it, and they release it to the grid the very next day. Well, that's a lot of people are doing that now.
Well, that's what I do with mine. Like, you wait until...
You have a solar panel, you green lesbian.
Well, I put the thing on the roof to save money and to help the environment. That's all right. And so
I
charge, well, you don't charge it up, but say you run your dishwasher and your washing machine at night because, you know, you've got to use the power instead of using it through the day because in Queensland, we're on a net system. Where I think New South Wales might have went on to a gross, but if you don't use electricity through the day, we put more back into the grid. So that's why you use the actual electricity at night.
So you can switch it to your dishwasher and whatever onto the panel.
No. It's just, well, at night there's no sun, so the panel's not working. So,
but it stores power during the day, so you can still use it at night, right?
No, that's not out.
No, it doesn't store anything. Doesn't store it's no anything. Battery. That's what this is about.
Okay.
So normal, panels, they just feed back into the grid. So at night time, you chew your electricity, run all your washing machines and whatever dishwashers, and
the
you're
cheap
only,
rate.
You're getting charged. Well, not even the cheap rate. Even at peak rate, you get charged. What is it? 28 cents a kilowatt hour. But then through the day. Well, you don't want to use it through the day because you get paid 40 cents per kilowatt hour. So through the day, you're making 40 cents. You're not making anything.
You're spending 28 at night.
Yeah. So if you were to use the machines and everything through the day, well, you'd have 40 cents less the 28 cents, sort of, kind of.
You know, that's why power bills have gone up through the roof, because we're paying people like you with solar panels 40 cents.
Well,
it's all subsidized.
Yeah, well, don't worry about me. People,
so like, the electricity company's got to pay you 40 cents for the power, yeah, and then they've got to charge us then extra because their costs have gone up.
Well, people like me living in New South Wales, when you had your other government in, when this first came out, they were on a gross system and they were receiving 60 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So in the, that's right, for kilowatt. So
that's why our power rates are doubled in less than 5 years.
Yeah, because you got to support the greenies. 60 cents. That's right.
You're going to wind that back.
Yeah, well, it's getting wound back now. That I don't think they're offering that sort of prices anyway. But anyway, just to finish off on that, Rennie, you've got here that Tesla plans to start shipping the units to installers in the US by this summer. So that's probably the US summer, I'd imagine.
US summer, yeah.
So it'll be like pretty much soon.
Well, I still think I'd like to see how that goes, actually. I think that's still going to be an interesting exercise, I reckon.
So why don't you don't like solar? Is that right, Eric? Are you against solar?
Yeah, well, it makes your house look ugly for a start.
And what, you're against it too, Rennie?
No, I'm not against it at all. The only problem is, for me, I'm surrounded by 100-foot-tall gum trees.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I can't get enough light on the roof, and there's already a pool heater up there, so
yeah.
I'm running, out of space, but...
Yeah, same. Got the pool heater up there already. There's no room left.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I've got 9 panels. It's not a big thing, but...
That's pretty big, 9 panels.
Yeah, but it's only a low converter or whatever they call it. I only see about $50 a quarter. It's pretty dodgy.
Off your bill.
It's hard to measure because, yes, it's $50 off my bill, like as in $50 I get back in actual cash, say, but you can't tell how much solar you've used because the electricity, using a mixture through the day, through a sunny day, you're using a mixture of solar and electricity. If you're making enough, you're just using the solar. But if you're not making enough, you're using a mixture. So you just don't know.
Right,
how it goes.
Anyway, I think the point is with the batteries, at least it gives you
more storage.
Options.
Yeah,
it gives you more options.
Oh, yeah. Look, and yeah, Dad said if they were affordable, which I hope they would be, I'd do that. I've got no problems in doing that. I do hot water heating on the thing, solar, different concept, but you know, and it's great. You don't pay for hot water until June, July, and maybe a bit of August. I think you got to turn it on in those winters. But anyway, Google. Oh, the Google. They've worked out finally, apparently, how much tax they pay. So Google has admitted to paying 20% tax in Australia.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's not too bad. But aren't they supposedly supposed to be doing 30%?
Depends what how they did their calculation.
But the company tax rate's 30.
Yeah, look, the company tax rate's 30%. But we all know that there are accounting figures and there are tax figures, right? Your bottom line, your taxable income is one figure and your net profit is another. Always is. Always has been for complicated companies because they've got R&D expenses, which they get R&D expenses that they spend, that they get certain thingos on, so that lowers their taxable income, blah, blah, blah. So what they show, you know, the simple profit and loss, money in, money out, net profit is X, right? Yeah. And then if people are analysing that, they go, oh, well, they pay tax, but the tax as a percentage of their profit is only 20%. Oh, they only paid 20%. But if you look at their tax return, they might have actually paid 30%.
Mm, yeah. But anyway, well, they've said...
It depends on what they're looking at, and I don't know what they're looking at.
The figures released to the Australian Securities and Investment Commission show it generated revenues of $438.7 million, a profit of $58 million, and paid $11.7 million in tax. So in addition, Google received nearly $5 million in research and development tax offset from the government, and these figures in combination with the tax offset mean Google is on a 20% tax rate.
Yeah, so you can't look at it that way.
No, I see what you're saying after you've explained
I just did a calculator, paid $12 million in tax, right, divided by 0.30, their taxable income was $40 million, but their accounting income was $58 million. And the other $18 million is used in the R&D offsets and all that sort of stuff, which they're entitled to get because they operate here in Australia. right? And I've got clients who do this. Accounting, I got one client who, for example, did one today. His taxable income was, in a company, was $130,000, right?
Yeah.
In the his tax return. In the accounts, it was $90,000. You think, okay, tax on, and on the tax on that was $2,500.
Yeah.
Because most of his income was franked dividends.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
you get the credits back, right?
So yes. Yeah.
It's all, it's depending on who's writing the story.
Yeah.
And depending on how afraid they are with reading accounts and tax returns.
And what angle they're trying to achieve.
And what, and depending on what side of politics they're on, you'll get it, you'll get any result you want.
Yeah. Rubbery figures.
It is. You know, when I got my first job, the guy that was my mentor said, what's one plus one? And I said two. And he said, wrong.
Window.
I said, what are you talking about? He goes, it's whatever you want it to be. Yes. I said, right, yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Oh, I'd have no problems becoming an accountant then.
I know, you're always getting one and one wrong.
I know, I'd be brilliant.
You'd be a star. You'd be working for Google.
I love it. I love it. All right. That's it about it, I think. Lads, that's about it. Have you got anything that else, Rennie? I don't think you've got anything else that you've hidden away from us.
I'm done, guys. I'm done.
Yep. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
I'm done. All I can say is I can't wait for Windows 10.
Mm.
And I might actually, when I get off here, download the latest version.
Yep.
And bang it on a virtual machine and play around with it because I haven't looked at it for a while.
Yep.
And see what they're up to. And yeah. I hope Sky doesn't get their way. Sky, come on.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. And yeah. That's it. And Apple Watch, still not getting one.
No. So you're pretty adamant about that.
Look, I thought about it. You know, when we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And was it last week when, who was it? Michael. Was Michael on last week?
Yes.
Was it last week?
Yeah, last week.
And he said, oh, yeah, you can swim with it. And I thought, oh, let's do a little bit of research here.
Mm.
And it got on there and he goes, yes, it is capable of sitting and one atom down, which is 1 meter, right, one atom,
right.
in nautical measurements.
Yeah, right.
But it said on there very clearly, we don't suggest you do this.
No.
Now, I'm thinking if that's a disclaimer there, they're covering their butts.
Yes.
I am not going to buy a watch that when they say, I suggest you don't do this.
Yes.
When they say it is waterproof to a depth of X, I'll get one.
Yeah. Well, maybe someone will bring out a casing or something.
Yeah, someone will bring out a casing, then I'll get sued, can't bring a casing out.
Maybe Sky. It's a bit like the Sky thing.
Sky casing. We'll call it Sky Watch.
Oh, no.
The Bluetooth won't work then you'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's right.
You put it crazy.
Pointless.
All right. So don't forget, you can find us anywhere you want on facebook.com/AussieTechHeads, youtube.com/AussieTechHeads, the webpage. Guess what? AussieTechHeads.com.au. And don't forget the AussieTechRadio.com. 24/7 radio podcast, tech podcast from Australia and over, well, New Zealand. And just back to back and goes 24/7. So join it wherever you are. And new shows every Friday. So how do you like those apples? All right. Good to see you again, Rennie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Hope to see you again, not too distant future. And Eric, thanks for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome, sir.
Thanks for your input.
Thanks for having me.
No problems. And thanks for downloading. And we'll be heard by you people soon, no doubt. All right. Good luck. Have good funds. And we'll see you next week. Ta-da.
Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.